So this is a weird thing to say. This is the first FPL experiment podcast that we've done this season that I've not been looking forward to. So we played our wild cards and it played out poorly. And since Sunday, I've been hating life. We have to talk about it because we've got a podcast to talk about fantasy football. So let's do that. Listen, let's get straight into it. Our WhatsApp chat has been dead in the last 2 days, and that's very unlike our WhatsApp. Let's just get it out of the way. We got 44 points. We ditched Lingard. We couldn't fit Trent in, although what was really annoying was that those two players were part of our squads up until deadline day. We went with KDB. He was benched. We went with Madison. I hate you, James Madison, and whatever you were doing, you little socialising toe rag. He was dropped, right? We went for Fernandez as captain. That didn't really work out. Greg, I can feel that it's coming because you've been too quiet for 2 whole days. So just get it off your chest now. Just do it.
Do you know what? I was livid. And I didn't want to just like mouth off on the WhatsApp group. And I was livid. Not just with myself. I was more angry with myself than with Nick Jackson. I was so tired on Thursday when Nick Jackson's Saturday in his boxers WhatsApp chat came at us in full, like, tornado force, it felt like this week. But it was really good because he'd obviously spent a lot of time agonizing over the squad. And I get that, and I'm really appreciative of that. But I woke up on Thursday, looked at Nick's team that he produced, and there was a few things I liked, and I said, yeah, fine. And I hadn't really argued my point about I want Lingard. I said, look, I like that team, but I just want Lingard. That's my one argument. Try and fit him in. And I didn't argue it enough. And it's my own fault, and I hated myself for it. And I forgot that we didn't have Lingard in our team at the weekend. So then when I tweeted out on our account at the weekend, oh, Lingard, yeah. Then looked at my team, I was like, are you actually kidding me? We don't have Jay Lingard.
Jay Lingard. I thought that you were going to say something like this. And I thought that you were thinking this. But you also have to remember, because you do seem to have the ability to forget the players that you also recommended, like Vardy, for example, who didn't do very well, but that seems to have slipped your mind. And also the fact that you wanted to go for Fernandez captain, but Nick wanted to go for Salah. So it's kind of a bit of a balance. Nick put a massive shift in for us, did all the research, really massively appreciate that, because both of us, Greg and I, were really, really busy. But Greg, you've got it off your chest, right?
Do you know what? I know it's hard when you agonise over a wild card for such a long time. This is actually my takeaway, that everyone listening, I would imagine, has had a moment when they've spent a day, 2 days, 3 days looking at their wild card, changing the wild card, bringing in players, taking players out. Imagine doing that with three people. Like, it's really hard. And we're never going to get everyone we want. Lingard's had another good week. Fine. Jota, who was basically the person we put in instead of him, could well go on to outscore him over the rest of the season. So I don't think we should be too hasty. And equally, we had players like Iheanacho who pulled us out of the mire. Rob Holding, superstar, 8 points.
Come on, the Holding.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't done the comparison on what we would have scored if we hadn't played it, because I think there's no point doing that. My view is we had a bad week in a week when most of the teams also had bad weeks. And we are really well set up now for the run-in. So I don't regret it at all. Yeah, maybe we should have had Lingard instead of Jota, but you can't win them all.
Look, we need a scapegoat, and I think we should blame Sadio Mane, because Mane was so selfish right at the end of that Liverpool game. If he just squared the ball to Jota, we'd have been smiling away, having a lovely old time. So, Sadio Mane, just get on your way, mate.
One.
Get on your bike, get on your little goat.
I would just like to say here, though, that I'm like, when I said I was angry at Nick, like, the anger percentage split between Nick and me, I'm like, I'm 80% angry at me and 20% Nick. So, Nick, I'm not really mad at you. I'm more angry at myself.
Oh, no, I'm not bothered. Like, if I'd got every player right, then it would have been fine. But equally, like, it's so unlikely that you're going to get every single player right in week one of a wild card. Like, you just have to take that long-term view. So I think we've just got to keep that in mind.
Do you know what? My takeaway is that I need to stop underestimating West Ham. It's probably been my biggest error this season. I honestly thought, without Antonio and without Declan Rice, that they would be abysmal, because Antonio and Lingard have linked up so well together. They've been so brilliant and so effective. And Declan Rice, obviously, he's been comparing himself this season to Yaya Toure, to Kante, or I'm Steven Gerrard. But he has been amazing. And that Lingard volley was so good. I've really overlooked them all season. And it looks as though, and this could be, this is pretty incredible, really, given the squad of players that they've got and given the fact that David Moyes is their manager, that it looks as though they could be heading to the Champions League.
You've got to take your hats off to them as well, though. They've got 32 points from a possible 45 this calendar year. Only Man City have won more Premier League matches than West Ham. Man City have gone 16 to West Ham's 10. It's ridiculous. And as you said, with the dinosaur David Moyes, calling themselves, all the boys in the Do a Dance? It was Backstreet Moyes, weren't it? Backstreet Moyes.
David Moyes never had a team that's really performed to that level. Like Everton were obviously his greatest achievement.
Flirted with it, didn't they? Everton?
And they were up there, but I don't think they were on the same level as West Ham. But it's amazing the job he's done. But also, do you think no fans in the ground has had a bigger impact on them than other teams? I honestly believe it has, because that ground has been blamed so often for poor performances, and you know, the fans don't like it there, and they often get on their backs there. So it is interesting that they've suddenly become this force.
I don't think it's that. I think they've got rid of a couple of quite bad eggs in that squad, and I think they're actually a really tight-knit unit. And I think the collective force of that team together is better than the individuals that they've lost, who were probably better players, and then that's then got them to where they are now. I think that's been a bigger influence than maybe the fans.
I agree to a point. I think getting rid of Valère was definitely massive for them. I think bringing in the two Czech guys has made a massive difference as well, because their work rate is absolutely phenomenal. I think you just can't help, if you've got those kind of players around, finding that quite infectious and quite like amazing to be around. But someone has had some kind of next level effect on Declan Rice, and that's made a massive difference for them as well. Declan Rice as well is one of these guys who seems to, he wants to learn from everybody. Even at the England camp, he was saying he was learning loads from being around Connor Cody, that he was going to take back into the West Ham changing room. And I think that's quite amazing, really, because footballers are normally a bit arrogant and they just already think that they're incredible, but he's still got so far to go.
He's a good lad as well. Have you seen him on the Tubes' video where he does four and he goes on a golf run, does four holes with loads of footballers and stuff? He's done quite a few with Declan Rice, and he's a funny lad. He's really, really funny.
Greg, what was your takeaway from the game week?
We kind of covered it. It was just more my frustration at myself, and I think it's just another lesson that we've learned I've learned individually this season when trying to work as a collective for the FPL experiment. And I think it'd be interesting when we sit down and look back about what we could do differently, what worked really well this season, stuff would change for even just the podcast, let alone team selection. And I just think it's quite interesting. And I'm really actually surprised that we are in the position that we are still, given all the errors that we've really made this season. And I think that shows the potential of the three minds being one.
Here we go with the podcast, right? We're going to discuss captain later, our captain. We're going to make our transfer decision for game week 32. We'll talk through game week picks. First, let's have a chat about the experiment league. Now, I'm loving some of the chats that people have been having with us on Instagram and Twitter. I was chatting to Steve Thornton over the weekend. He's been on the rise in recent weeks. He's been flying, right? So now he's got the chance to win his work league. So there's a pot of around about £70, maybe slightly annoying, as he pointed out, because nobody is in the office at the moment. But winning the work league, I mean, that's satisfying, isn't it, when you get to do that?
Love that. I've won the work league like 4 or 5 years in a row because everyone's just so pants at work, but they just chuck a fiver in. So it's an easy like 60, 70 quid, done.
You're fleecing him.
Yeah, mate.
So the FPL experiment team is now sat at 52K. So we're just outside of the 50K. We had quite a big drop this week, really, 12K drop. The FPL Experiment League now has 23 teams above us. So 23 teams in the top 50K. So nice work if that's you. But I was kind of looking through. I couldn't believe how many teams were in the top 50K. But then I'd never really taken any interest of the names of the teams in our league. Have you ever looked at those? I've got some of my favourites in the FPL Experiment League, like Saka Potatoes. Neville Wears Prada.
Nice.
But my favourite one, which is just really obscure, you know De Ligt, who plays for Juventus?
Yeah.
De Ligt House Family.
That's my favourite.
I mean, that is the Lighthouse family, very rarely spoken of these days, unless you listen to Heart Radio.
You cannot deny the brilliance of the tune High, though. Oh,
I was going to say, Greg, I think, is your archetypal Lighthouse family fan.
Oh, yeah.
Strutting around South London in his gilet with Lighthouse family.
I've honestly never known a grown man with such a bad taste in music.
It's on my running playlist, that song, because when that comes on, you can't not feel good.
So let's have a little chat about picks for the game week, shall we? We'll start with goalkeepers. I was really unfortunate in that I had to watch Fulham against Wolves on Friday night, and that was horrific. And so for that reason, and having watched that game, I'm going to pick Leno in goal because, I mean, if Lookman is out again, Fulham, I can't see anyone scoring in that game from Fulham's side. So I'm going for Leno in goal. Greg, how about you?
Lost four in a row now, haven't they, Fulham? But for the second time this season after being on a really good run. I think, as you said, Lookman's so integral to that team.
Greg, what are you thinking about in goal?
I've gone for Rui Patricio at home to Sheffield United. I think Leno was probably the other favourite choice. But 9 points last week in that 1-0 win in the drab game at Fulham. But like two clean sheets in the last four game weeks. Like whenever Wolves actually get a clean sheet, he generally picks up some bonus or save points. So he got like 9 at Fulham, 11 at Leeds, 8 at Leicester, 9 at Chelsea. It's quite a safe pick. And as I said last week with Roman Saiss, Wolves have got such an incredible run of games now that it's a bit of a no-brainer really for me.
Wolves have got Sheffield United, right?
Yeah, at home.
I mean, that's one to avoid, isn't it?
It's not going to be fun.
Like, even if I was a fan, I wouldn't watch that. Nick, how about you in terms of goalkeepers?
Last week was tough to pick a defender or keeper. I think this week is a lot easier. I think Mendy for Chelsea and De Bruyne is the obvious pick, but I fancy the United defence to get back to business, to clean sheets at home to Burnley. Dean Henderson, he's had a really nice run of games in the side recently. I think that spot seems to be his for the time being anyway. I just don't think Burnley are going to crack that back line. And Burnley are just so predictable from an attacking perspective. So I think Hendo could get a little clean sheet here.
In terms of defences, I think City defence could be good this week against Villa without Grealish. But, I mean, good luck picking a City defender from that lineup. So Arsenal, again, look pretty obvious given their fixture against Fulham. Outboy Holding, yeah, you could probably go for. And Trent is by far and away the defender from an attacking perspective who is outperforming everybody else by miles and miles and miles. Nick, how about you in terms of defenders? Who are you thinking?
As you said, we said Trent would be dangerous and he was. I think he's the high profile pick. But as Greg said, I think Wolves defence could be good this week. And I am putting my money on Semedo. So they're at home to Sheffield United. Wolves are a really odd team defensively. They will have, as Greg said, like a few good games, a few clean sheets, and then they'll just let in a buttload of goals to one team. So I think Semedo, who had clean sheet, max bonus last time out against Fulham. I think Sheffield United are just fully cooked. They've got nothing. So I think he could be a good shout for points at both ends.
Greg?
I've gone for Luke Shaw at home to Burnley. Burnley are a weird one at the moment. They seem to have gone all out attacking and just completely forgot how to defend, which is their pretty much your only strength. So Shaw's had a weird two games. He's actually played well in those two games, but hasn't had any attacking returns or clean sheets really in that. But the six before that, he had five attacking or defensive returns out of those six. So he's been playing well. Like Burnley have only won one in the last eight. They've lost as many games this season as they did all of last season. So, I mean, it's quite a safe pick again for Man United's defence. Shaw, hopefully come back and get back to where he was performing a few game weeks ago.
His distribution is so good. Like, you watch him play and he's always whipping crosses in. Like, I don't know what's happened to his game, but he's absolutely incredible now.
Doesn't have Jose barking crap in his ear at the side of the pitch. But that outside of the boot cross to the ball that Fernandez then, that was a lovely move. And that would have got us some points as well. But that frustrated the hell out of me. Do you want to know an interesting Burnley fact?
Always.
They've not had a player sent off at home in any competition for nearly 7.5 years.
What? I thought Robbie Brady was a bit of a firebrand, or have I completely made that up?
Just a ridiculous stat.
I feel like that can't be right, surely.
if I've said it, it's true.
Yeah. Those Greg Shaw stats, they're always true.
I don't lie, Adam.
Let's talk about midfielders for a second. Greg, I've got a question for you about Chelsea because I watched them at the weekend and I thought they looked really exciting, albeit it was against Palace. But Kai Havertz looks like the stuff of fantasy football dreams at the moment, playing as a central striker, got great fixtures, out of position, alongside people like Pulisic, who looked incredible until he looked like he got one of his trademark injuries near to the end of the game. Kai Havertz, are you interested? Would you be interested? Do you fancy him for the running?
I had him in my team, my own personal team, sort of early part of the season, because I really like him. And I'm surprised it's taken as long as it has for him to maybe come to the fore somewhat. And Tuchel's obviously got him playing in that striker role that you talked about earlier on the season that he did last year as well. So this is first time for Chelsea that he's got a goal and an assist in the game. And yeah, I really like him. And I would not think twice about putting him in my team if I had enough space or money, really.
So you wouldn't be thinking then about rotation? Because, I mean, Tuchel's already shown that he's a bit kind of trigger happy on that front.
Yeah, it's always the case with Tuchel. He tinkers away, doesn't he? But he has been quite a mainstay in that team for the last sort of 4 or 5 game weeks. And he seems to be persevering with him more so than, I mean, Abraham's just not looking in. Giroud doesn't seem to figure. I think he's obviously off in the summer. So therefore he's thinking, well, why don't I play with the guys that I know are going to be around in the future of this team? And he'll be chopping and changing the guys around him, Ziyech, Werner, Pulisic, whoever. But I think Havertz, even if he doesn't necessarily play as that 9, I think he's going to play more than he won't under Tuchel for the remaining 6 or 8 games this year.
Nick, who are you thinking about in midfield?
So Son's going to obviously be in pretty much everyone's team. You know, you can't really ignore that double, despite how terrible Spurs are. And I think Lucas Moura has got 3 assists in the last 4. So for those people who maybe do have Kane and Son and want another, or they don't have either and just can't afford them, I think he could be a good way into that team. But like to your point, Ad, like I think Pulisic, if you want like a non-double midfielder, he could be awesome as well.
Greg, what are you thinking about in midfield?
I've gone for my differential hero of the week, of last week, Mason Greenwood. 20 points he's got in his last 3 game weeks and a goal and assist against Spurs last week. He's also proven that if he doesn't start, he's still going to come on and he looks dangerous. And for all the reasons I highlighted earlier about Burnley, forgetting how to defend, and they're so high up in the league at the moment. When you look at chances conceded and expected goals against, they're there or thereabouts with the worst in the league with Sheffield United and the like. So he's pushing for that Euro squad inclusion. And so if you don't want to go for the obvious picks, which is your Spurs and what have you, then Greenwood would be a nice 1-week pick.
That was a lovely ball that he played for the Cavani header as well.
What a header as well, though.
Yeah. Right. Cavani looked brilliant. So in midfield, I think, yeah, loads of options. You really sport for choice in there. You've got Jesse Lingard, Matheus Pereira at the moment. His stats are unreal. I think in midfield, only Salah is outperforming him at the moment. There's just maybe a chance that West Brom could stay up. It's like the slightest of chances. And if they are, you know, things are going to go through him. I think up front, Lacazette against Fulham looks pretty obvious. You know, he's scoring goals a plenty. And as I said, Cavani, I think, is a really interesting shout, given the way that he played last time out. Who are you thinking about, Greg, up front?
I've mirrored what you said, Lacazette. Fulham lost 4 in a row. They're just atrocious at the moment. Lacazette's got, 43 points in his last 6 game weeks, 5 goals, 1 assist. Only Richarlison, Lingard, Iheanacho, Salah and Kane have a higher expected, an XGI in that period, which is like expected goals and an assist. So I didn't realise he'd been performing as well as he had. I mean, I just, whenever I look at Lacazette, I switch off because I just hate him as a player. But he's actually been doing really, really well. Surprisingly so for me.
Nick, how about you?
So the 2 form players in the league right now are Lingard and Iheanacho. And Iheanacho faces a West Brom side fighting for their lives. I think Leicester will be coming off the back of a cup semi-final, which we should consider. But Iheanacho's got 50 points in his last 5 games. Whoever said last week Vardy was a better pick. I mean, I can't remember who it is. I'm not going to point any fingers. But whoever said Vardy was a better pick,
I'll take it,
must have been off his head.
Can I just say, I'll back this up, if Maddison hadn't been a little bugger and been trying to party, then I actually think with him in the side, Vardy's the better option still.
But I mean, it's all well and good saying things that can never be proved, Greg. But I mean, you said Vardy was a better pick than Iheanacho. So for half the price, Iheanacho, brilliant. So I think him and Kane up front would be great. I think also if Antonio can get a fit, he could be a bit of an explosive option away to Newcastle. Two teams with a lot to play for, so could be a lot of goals in that game.
Let's have a conversation before we talk about our team and captaincy decision this week about differentials. Greg.
Differential of the week.
Different take on it this week. You trying to remix?
I was just so pumped from yet again getting another differential choice that I don't know.
Look, Adam's about to talk about it. You don't need to preempt him.
No, because do you know what? Whenever we talk about differentials, Adam says, yeah, Greg, another week, you've done really well. You're running away with the league. We're really atrocious. And it's fine. And I don't ever shout from the rooftops about how...
You always do. In fact, you always tweet about it. Your tweets at the moment are honestly making me feel sick. Oh my God, I can't believe Greg has just done this. Oh my God, Greg's going to do this. You're writing it, you penis.
Yeah, they don't know that.
Everybody knows that you write the tweets because they've always got something about you in.
I mean, I've always known Greg's a very, very self-confident guy, right? But doing
self-centered
this
self-centered
and so very, very confident, right? And doing this experiment has really shown me a whole other level. Like his self-belief is on a different planet. It's great. Like he says things and he believes them, even though they're quite clearly not true. Always, my gut's always right, guys. Facts. All right, prove it.
He is top of the differential league.
I'll give him that.
So
yeah,
there we go. So going into the weekend's games, Nick and I were tied on 92 points, Greg with 114. And do you know what? I almost couldn't believe it at the time that Greg just allowed himself to not have the choice that he wanted. We kind of just brushed him aside.
No, you say we, that was you. Yeah, I said Wood, you said Wood, Greg said Wood. He said, actually, no, you can have Wood if you want, Nick. I was like, great.
I almost couldn't believe that it happened. And then it's really backfired because Greg went for Greenwood. He got 11. Great shout. I had Pereira, 9 points for me, and Nick got Wood and he got 5. Although I think it's the first time this season that all three of us have picked different players and they've all scored. So finally, guys, 30-odd weeks in, we're kind of getting
the hang
of it.
We know what we're talking about.
Anyway, Greg at the top of the differential league table with 125 points. I've got 101 into the 100 club. Nick, back at the bottom, 97. So,
modern Greggy.
Differentials, under 8 million and under 5%. Nick, who are you thinking about this game week?
So I've actually gone for my defender pick. I've gone for Semedo for Wolves at home to Sheffield United.
Bold.
5.2 million, 2.7% owned.
Was not expecting that. Greg, how about you?
Lucas Moura, 2.3%, 6.6 million, double game week, 3 returns in his last 4 games, keeping me top of the league.
I did think about going Moura, and it was on my mind, but I thought someone else would go there. So I've gone Alan Saint-Maximin, because when he came on against Burnley, he was superb, unreal. That goal that he got at the end, the winner, they're playing against West Ham. And West Ham have been great, but defensively, they've been a shambles. So I'm thinking Saint-Maximin is my man.
It's a rogue pick.
I was really close to going Martinelli, because I think Martinelli could do well this weekend as well. So I didn't know I thought Nick, given what he said earlier about Moura, was going to pick him. So I had Martinelli as my backup. But
I mean, in hindsight, think about it, I probably should have gone for Moura, but you know, I'm just going with it now.
Right. So Greg's gone Moura, Nick's gone for Semedo, and I've gone for Saint-Maximin. So we'll catch up on differentials next time out. We'll discuss our team right now, the FPL experiment team. So last time out, I almost don't want to go over it again, but we kind of have to. We got 44 points. We have Mendy in goal. Stones, Phillips, Rudiger, Shaw, Holding. Go on the Holding.
Come on the Holding.
Jota, Fernandez as captain. Salah, Iheanacho and Kane. And then De Bruyne, Madison and Vidra on the bench. The first two didn't come on. And Vidra sat there with his little 7 points. Annoying little... Anyway, we've got a transfer for the double game week. Nick, what do you want to do with it?
So we structured the wild card with all the intention of getting Son in. That was always our plan. We could have got him in straight away, but we decided to take a punt on De Bruyne for 1 week. I think we stick to that plan. KDB out, Sun in for the double.
Greg?
Same for me, really. Even if KDB does play at the weekend, I'd still rather Sun for the double games. I think he's, even if he gets 2 points on Friday, I still think that Southampton game, Southampton on the beach.
And this is the beauty of our wild card, right? I know you're feeling a bit down about it now, but we went Phillips over Trent so we could get Salah and KDB. If we were in the position that we may well have been in, we wouldn't have had KDB to swap out for Son. We'd have been swapping out Salah for Son, which would have been a really hard decision. So I think we're in a good place still.
Always with the positivity, Nick. I like it. Do you know what? It's going to be, it would be so hard for me this week to go without Son after he slaughtered Southampton before. And because it's one of those really annoying game weeks that spans over something like 7 days, I wouldn't really fancy going without Son this week. So I think quite obviously we have to go for him. Is there any love on the pod? And I just thought I'd bring this up for maybe bringing in Lingard as well.
Jay Lingard, yes, against Newcastle. I think he could even be a road captain because he's on such good form. But
in for who, though?
Jota. I think we'd have enough money for Jota, wouldn't we?
Or Maddison.
I'm not saying that we have to do it. I'm not even saying that I want to do it. But there's a player there who's bang in form. I guess we brought in Maddison thinking he was going to be a really interesting differential, right? We thought he's got these great fixtures. Look at his next two games, West Brom, Crystal Palace. They're gunning for the top four. He's coming back into the squad, like team, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
If I was going to drop one, I think I'd drop Jota from that midfield.
And Maddison's going to come back with, like, he wants to point to prove, to shut up all the detractors and the papers that have been slagging him off this week and show just how integral he is to that team.
Nick, any thoughts or love for Lingard? Are we chasing points? Is it a player who's on that much form that maybe we should go for him?
My position hasn't changed from when we did the wild card, right? I think you and I both wanted Jota over Lingard because he had the better long-term fixtures. Just because Lingard's now had a good game and Jota didn't, we're completely trying to tear it up and take points hits. My preference would just be to do KDB to the Sun and keep it simple.
Yeah, I don't think we need to take a points hit. I think, look, we've made our bed, let's lie in it. But I don't think you can just say, oh, just because Lingard's had a good game. Lingard is on incredible form.
Next week, he's up against Chelsea. And I'm not mad keen on Lingard for Chelsea. But I am really keen on Lingard from 34 onwards when he's got Burnley, Everton, Brighton, West Brom, Southampton. Like those fixtures, if he's still fit at the end of the season, they're too tasty. But we probably don't need a points hit for him now. I just wanted to kind of throw it out there because
I think when we get to that stage, I think it's definitely worth it. But I think, as Greg said, I feel like we've made our bed and we should just see it through at least another couple of games and then maybe consider him again after that tough Chelsea game.
Is there any point talking about captain?
Well, you could throw in Son, so Kane versus Son, because I think that will be on a lot of people's minds.
But if you're just trying to overcomplicate it there, Son has not had anywhere near the amount of shots that Kane is having right now. Son's also not on penalties. Like, Southampton have given away the most penalties in the league this year. And let's be honest, they're absolutely atrocious. I don't necessarily see why you're trying to look into what, and we've all been talking about it, yourself included. You've been very vocal with it, along with Adam, how he is now turning into the provider for everyone else at Spurs. And I think you're trying to do something that,
Mate, I completely want Kane. I was just trying to, you know, throw in a grenade, see what happens.
If you weren't going to go for Kane, Greg, who would you go for?
In our squad or just in general this week?
Just in general.
I would go for Salah.
So here's another question. If you were chasing, would you go for a differential captain pick?
Not this week, no, because the Spurs have got that game against Southampton. And Southampton on the beach, so the worst team in the league this year. Like, I didn't realise how bad Southampton had actually been. What was it? They picked up 10 points in 15 games in 2021. Anyway, even if that was a single game week, I would still be picking Kane as captain.
But if you're chasing, though, in my own team, that's my position. I've not got Kane. I've not had him intentionally because everyone else has got him. So I'm trying to figure out how to make up ground. If you pick Kane, everyone else does. You know, granted, you won't lose ground, but you're not going to make up any if he blanks.
Yeah, but surely you make up your ground on your other players.
Oh, yeah, but also if Kane blanks and everyone else has captained him and you've captained someone else, the upside is huge.
I think there's other ways to chase rather than just trying to be stupid with a captain choice that's not obvious.
Imagine the buzz, though. Death or glory. No Kane. You've captained Semedo. Come on!
Right, let's end on a positive. because there's a degree of us being a bit glum this week. Pubs have reopened again in the UK.
Woohoo!
Do you know what? My local pub has got this outside area. Like, it's quite a nice pub, but it is also on a main road. Monday at lunchtime, midday, the outside was absolutely jam-packed. The first opportunity to get into the pub, and it just didn't even matter what that pub was. It didn't. Nobody cared. It was absolutely rammed when I went past. You two obviously going out with our friends on Friday night. Nick, you excited?
I'm buzzing. I went out and sloshed 3 pints down my neck at lunch today just to kind of warm up.
Yeah, that's a
you
good
know what
idea.
I'm really worried about? On Friday, when we meet up, when we the first bar we go to, for some reason, it's a all-you-can-drink for 2-hour slot that we've got. That's just going to ruin us. It's going to ruin me. I mean, I can't even do that when I've been practicing for a year, let alone having a year off. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, me and Adam and a mate of ours, we're playing golf on Saturday morning, so I am just going to be zigzagging everywhere.
I can't wait to see your scrunched up little hungover goblin face in the morning.
I'm proper chuffed that they're open again. Big fan of the pub, me.
What chat are you going to be bringing, mate? You've got all the boys together for the first time. What's your staple chat going to be, Jacko?
I'll mainly talk about food, I'd imagine.
Do you know what? I had a good chat with Jo about food tonight. I was just sitting at the table and she just looked up and she goes, "What's your favourite bean? Mine's the butter bean."
Is that how bad it's got lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, that's lockdown chat for husband and wife.
Favourite bean. Mine's probably the borlotti, if you're asking me.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Adam?
I quite like a kidney bean.
Yeah, I think they're only good in chilies, though, aren't they? I mean, when else do you ever had a kidney bean?
Well, I mean, yeah, you could say that about most beans, though. Like, when am I... like, I'm not putting borlotti beans on my cereal. God, we've really sunk to a low here, haven't we?
Yeah.
Have you and Joe thought about swinging?
Yeah, maybe grow some pampas grass out the front of your house. That's the sign. That's how you bring in the other swingers.
What grass?
Pampas grass. Oh, yeah, pampas grass. It's like an old... It's the sort of stuff that's like it's quite tall, got like a wavy grassy top on it. That's the sign that this household is a swinging household. Come on in and get your keys in the bowl and whip your pants off. I've got 3 plants out the front.
Absolutely no way the laziest man around has got 3 of those plants out the front. Come on. You can find the details of our team. We'll post those at FPL Experiment on Twitter and Instagram. Have a cracking game week and have a wonderful time if you've got pampas grass outside your house on your front lawn.